Hello, this is Ian Harper welcoming you to Business of Weather podcast, produced in association with Asia Climate Forum, Asia's largest event dedicated to extreme weather and climate change, flooding and poor air quality. In each episode, we'll investigate the increasing impact of extreme weather and climate change on business and society, and look at how weather technology and climate information services can help address the growing challenges. We'll also spotlight the new opportunities for entrepreneurs and business startups seeking to develop the business potential of technology innovations to help those affected by extreme weather. The link between energy, society, and the global climate is a critical one. The use of fossil fuels is one of the biggest contributors to global warming, which, if left unchecked, could have devastating consequences for all of us. The energy sector is very dependent on the weather and climate. Day-to-day weather and longer-term climate variations influence energy demand and supply in all areas. For example, in agriculture, transport, and communication, in water supply and in the built environment. Consequently, the energy sector is a sophisticated user of weather and climate information, and this has given rise to what's called energy meteorology. This is the application of weather and climate information to help create more sustainable, resilient, and efficient energy systems. Perhaps most importantly, weather and climate information has big implications for the growth of low-carbon renewable energy, which can help bring global warming under control. However, because renewable energy is especially dependent on the weather, it is variable in nature. But if we know where and when the wind is going to blow, and how much the sun will shine, this variability can be reduced and renewables can play an increased role in the overall energy mix. What's more, energy meteorology can significantly improve energy efficiency, especially in the energy-intensive urban environment. To find out more about the link between energy and the weather, Business of Weather spoke to Dr. Alberto Troccoli, the Managing Director of the World Energy and Meteorology Council. Welcome, Alberto.
Hello.
To get the ball rolling, what is the World Energy and Meteorology Council? What does it do, and how did it come about, and who are the members?
The World Energy and Meteorology Council, or WEMC for short, is the an association that looks after the link between the scientific community working in the weather and climate space with the energy sector, which could be industry, policy, education and so on, just to make sure that the link between the two communities is as close as it can be.
Okay, how is meteorology of value to the energy industry? Can meteorology make energy generation more efficient? For example, by predicting periods of hot and cold weather and the need for air conditioning and heating?
Absolutely. Meteorology can help on all those items. Just imagine how the prediction of wind power can be improved by knowing whether a storm is coming or not, and or a heat wave is coming, so you can adjust your level of supply for gas, or the way air conditioning is used during the day. And so there's a huge amount of benefit and efficiency gains that can be had by using weather and climate information in the best possible way.
Right. I mean, does meteorology have a role to play with power transmission? For example, can it help prevent situations of the sort that have been reported in California, where arcing electricity transmission lines have caused fires which have then been fanned and spread by warm winds?
Yeah, again, there's a big role for meteorology here, as you can tell, you know, where the situation here is about winds and fires. These are, you know, they are easier to achieve in a sense if there are the right meteorological conditions. And in fact, power companies, especially in California, but in other places too, have adopted their own models, numerical models that predict the weather. They've built their own in-house capability to deal with these things because, for example, the power transmissions are subject to certain capacity depending on the temperature of the wires. And by knowing the air temperature, the wind around them, we can improve the prediction of how the wires are going to be over the next few hours, maybe a day or so. So that improves a lot the way we transmit electricity.
Is weather data of any special value when it comes to renewable energy generation, which is intermittent in nature because it depends on wind and sunshine? For example, can weather data be used to locate power stations in the best locations, or to forecast when wind and solar power will be available for use?
Absolutely. The wind and solar power are driven by weather events. One thing I would like to note, though, is that we prefer to refer to this just sort of generation as variable rather than intermittent, because intermittent gives you an idea that is not controllable, whereas right, because we know that we can predict the weather, a different accuracy, of course, depending on how far ahead we want to look at, we can provide this information to people who run solar and wind farms, as well as people who plan these power stations. This is a different type of data, but still coming from the meteorological community. So that's key. The latter one is key to get the finance approved. You need to show that you've got a very good data set for wind and solar power for their approval and financing.
Does weather data actually have a role to play in making power stations more resilient, for example, by providing early warning of extreme weather events or flooding, or providing data locations that are prone to flooding?
Again, yes, this is another area that the community is looking at, and is becoming more and more an area of interest to the energy industry, including, for example, the International Energy Agency, but as well as many others, even the World Bank many years ago started to look into this area. And it comes down to various factors. I mean, just one perhaps more evident, perhaps not so frequent, but you can have issues with hail hitting solar panels. And so you want to be able to prevent damage to solar panels if you can predict hail events. But there are many more events that are affecting it. Another one could be typhoons on wind farms, and so you need to be prepared and make sure that the wind farms is obviously built in a solid way, but also it's operating in the best way with respect to the wind conditions, the wind directions, and so on.
Looking long term, does climate change pose a threat to electricity supply, and how can meteorology help?
This is another area again. This is a long-term climate changes that, again, the community is looking at. So it's the community is just briefly is looking at very short-term predictions, a few hours even to a few days ahead, and then from two seasons and then decades, as well as looking at the past record. So there is a whole gamut of data from meteorology that is used by the energy. In this case, people are starting to look at how new generation scenarios could look like under different climate scenarios. And so it's climate data are informing the way the planning and the build of new infrastructure or how you make the current infrastructure more resilient.
Tell me, where does the energy industry get its weather and climate data from?
There are several sources, and companies. There's various companies that have been set up to provide the services. These are the so-called service providers from the meteorological community to the energy industry, and there are also other providers. For example, in the US, there is a free data policy, which means that you can obtain forecasts for free from the public administration. So that's a very common and used source of data for forecasting. But now with new policy in Europe also under Copernicus, there is more and more people accessing data for climate purposes under the Copernicus Climate Change Service.
What's Copernicus?
Copernicus is a big program which looks after the various areas of the environment, and climate is one of them. It's one of the six areas that are under this program. And the rationale for it was to ensure that the data coming from satellite as well as from ground stations and so on are used as best as possible, but also critically shared for free as much as possible. So this is a big change in policy in Europe that has been happening in the last few years. And is providing a game changer worldwide in terms of availability and use of data, climate and atmosphere as well, and various other sources.
So Copernicus is a European program which assists British industry.
Correct. Yeah. Sorry, I missed the European bit. Yes, it's funded by the European Union, indeed.
You're listening to Business of Weather, produced in association with Asia Climate Forum. Now, what new business opportunities are being created as a result of meteorology's value to the energy industry? For example, providing data?
Yes. So one area is certainly the data. So we need data, for example, to ensure that insurance policies are paid correctly. So you need a reference station, for example, to say whether you went above or beyond or below, sorry, a certain temperature threshold or precipitation threshold. So you need to have very accurate data for this purpose. But I would say the other most common use, which is becoming more and more common, particularly for longer ranges of prediction, is in fact the forecast. And so the traditional companies that have been producing weather forecasts have started also to provide forecasts to specific users. And these providers include also the national Met services in various countries around the world.
You mentioned insurance. Is insurance important to the energy industry when it comes to the weather?
Yes, I mean, insurance plays an important role in terms of, for example, hedging the use of the investments on particular assets. For example, there is studies that are looking at how you could hedge the power production for solar power and perhaps balancing it with wind power if it's a compensation at different periods, at different times of years or different times of days, and you can get more of one and less of the other. But it's also across fields because insurance is not necessarily a single topic like energy. They can obviously look at hedging between energy assets and operations and agriculture, for example. So they have a very normally they have a very good overview of what the opportunities are across various sectors, and they try to make the best use by balancing all these opportunities and reduce risk ultimately. So that's the main purpose.
Right. Just to return to the beginning to conclude, we mentioned the World Energy and Meteorology Council. What's next on the agenda for the Council?
With the Council, we are helping to have this conversation between science and the industry, and this is proving successful. We have an increasing number of members that are willing and keen to participate in discussion in special interest groups, as well as in taking part in workshops and conferences. We have our conference that happens every 2 years. The next one would be in 2021. So we're receiving already quite a lot of requests from people asking where it's going to be. So there's quite a bit of buzz around that. And there's other things like tools for education that we are developing. So we're helping in the communication of weather and climate information for specialists, as well as for education purposes like high school students and eventually the more general public. So there is a huge amount of opportunities in this area, and I would like to encourage everybody interested to learn more to visit our website and get in touch if you want to know more and take part, active part in the conversation.
What's the address of the website?
Yes, so the address is WEM Council, so WEMCouncil.org.
Well, that concludes today's interview. Alberto Troccoli, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ian.
You're listening to Business of Weather, produced in association with Asia Climate Forum, Asia's largest event dedicated to addressing climate change, flooding, and poor air quality.